Welcome to the Certainty Roundtable podcast, designed for those advisory teams preparing for the fast emerging new era of financial advice in Australia. Hosted by Jim Stackpool, founder of Certainty Advice Group, with over 30 years experience advising advisory firms, the Certainty Roundtable podcast brings together the growing group of Certainty Advice firms as they share their insights, experiences, as they attract, attain, price and manage their valuable advice clients and advisory teams. Now, here is your host, Jim Stackpool.
G'day everybody, Jim Stackpool here, and welcome to another of our roundtable series. And we're talking about, within Certainty Advice, how do we use fixed and variable pricing to manage scope? Really important element. And so this session, we're diving into that conversation, particularly around the management of scope when you're taking this comprehensive advice process, because it does get quite complex. Check it out. One of the core things with everything we do is this quote. And this has a really big, big consequence for quoting. This fixed and variable price, this, the cure of the part should not be attempted without the treatment of the whole. And so these promises of looking after the whole comes with expectations. Expectations from a client perspective and expectations from our perspective. Well, how do you manage the whole? And what are some of the guidelines and principles, particularly when we're quoting? And so I just want to get the conversation going here as quickly as you can. And I'm going to call on Tim Carrick. G'day, Tim. How are you, mate? How do you find this whole quoting approach with your business transitioning to Certainty Advice? What's your feedback and how easy or hard it is for you to manage scope and use the quotes?
I think the clients really enjoy it. I think they're really tuned in now to what's going on in the industry when they're seeking advice. They don't like the thought of conflicted remuneration or anything. So once you put it to them that this is the only way I'm going to get paid, yeah, and the fact that there's less advisors, they're like, well, I want you then.
Yep, okay. And the aspect when you sort of, have you had a situation now, because you're taking on some bigger work now, where clients are coming to you with stuff that actually this is a bit beyond scope and you've had to go back and re-quote or challenge what maybe has been seen as a fixed price?
I haven't re-quoted. I have found myself in a situation where it's probably there's been more work than I anticipated.
Yep. Okay. And I think congratulations, you're normal. A lot of us try to, okay, we'll handle it and we'll see how we do. But I think obviously one of the key things about pricing, it's meant to fund our growth, and we can't, particularly in this world where we're taking on the comprehensive approach, if things can get out of scope quite quickly. How do you find managing scope, Susan?
My clients are used to a bit of tough love from me.
Good.
So I'm very prescriptive about it, and I explain to clients why. And often they'll ask me to increase the scope once we've had that conversation.
Okay, that's good. So it's this, the management scope itself is tough. So you're finding that you've got this reputation of being a tough lover, and they like that.
Yeah, they do, because you know we often we get people who are fence sitters, and I just hate sitting on fences. It's really bloody uncomfortable.
It is uncomfortable. Okay, not knowing where we're pushing people forward or just pushing people back, and that is a key role too of our role as leadership. Grace, you know, what's your impression? Because FinBiz, you've got a lot of different clients, with some with huge scope and a huge workload, and others that are quite, for want of a better word, simple. How do you find the whole approach with managing scope with that variety of clients at FinBiz up there at Warners Bay?
It's kind of mixed. Some clients like it, and there's a lot that haven't came on board because they don't like it.
Yeah, okay. And what was the reasons for not coming on board, Grace, do you think?
It's just too much. I think because we do a lot of compliance work, our minimum fee is just too high for some of them.
And that's sort of in some ways been on purpose, to really the best interest of what you can serve at FinBiz is it's sort of this particular client set. Not saying you're trying to be elitist, you're simply saying for the capacity, our skills and where we're going, this is our base, and some clients don't like that. Understanding just from a perspective, before we talk about the quoting of it or the management of it, that we do have these clients up here in the principal area where this is highly complex, and we have 10% roughly of our clients in this space of principal advice. We have about ideally 60% of our clients in this space, which is what we call the management clients, or managing clients. And then we have approximately 10% of our client base over here in what we call the specialist environment. And here over here where we have another 20% of our client base, which is in the supplier. Each one of these different areas all need different scope management, each one of them. Whether they're, and as I think as Grace was just saying at FinBiz, some of these clients in this less complex, and every single terms of engagement we would say was pushing out, whether I'm putting a terms of engagement for a specialist job, terms of engagement for principal, managing, or a supplier client, every single terms of engagement, before we do the due diligence, must have, in our opinion, a range of fees. No matter what group we're appealing to, whether it's just doing an investment or a tax piece, whether it's just it's doing the whole enchilada, we're re-engaging a client that's been on for 5 or 6 years, or we're simply, we've also got just a supplier client, every new terms of engagement, we believe, has to have a range of fees. What do you think about that? Tim Carrig again.
Well, all the clients that I've taken on, because it's just clicked over 12 months, I'm still up in the principal category. So I'm particularly interested, like, because you ran a piece last week as well about them dropping down to the management client and then staying there until there's a complexity in life. And sometimes there won't be another complexity in their life that pops up. And I get it that we're trying to work out our fees based on our, like, capacity and, you know, and what my minimum is, but also then just providing like a retainer type terms of engagement with a fee, what that looks like.
And so I think you picked it there, Tim. What we're saying is that if there's more due diligence required, whether it's an existing client, new clients, we always need to do the due diligence. But if there's more due diligence required for an existing client, but if we know there's a client clicking over to year 2 or 3 or 4. And we've done an initial re-meeting. There's nothing new. There's no more complexities. The investments aren't changing. Yes, there might be some slight management changes here. The cash flow isn't changing. The risk profile isn't changing. So, in fact, there's no new due diligence. Then we'd say, well, that's a fixed fee. Then I don't need the variable range. But if there's any hint that things are going to change, which might need, okay, we need to do more blood pressure tests. We need to just do a bit more due diligence. We need to just check, dot our I's and cross our T's. And if that work then needs to be, we come back then after due diligence, we'll have a fixed price. So what I'm getting at is that any new client where we haven't done due diligence needs a variable, and we pitch that simply to say, we will come back and confirm the estimate once we've done due diligence, which is generally an SOA, but pre that, we'll have a range. A lot of advisors find that difficult.
But what do you put in terms of engagement when they there's no, it's just a fixed fee and you're just carrying on every year? So, 'cause I really do believe that these new terms of engagements are exactly what we have to do now.
Yeah, they are. But existing terms of engagement where there's nothing new. Yeah. You've done your due diligence. You've done the blood test. You've re-met them again. You've done a discovery. You've identified no new complexities. That's a here's our estimate, dollar X. But whenever there's any hint, that's simply just the quoting. That's simply just how we quote it each year. And I think what we've been, the key point I hope of today is how do we manage it? Because what the principal often thinks is, yeah, that's within scope. Sometimes that we need to actually have some objective management to it. So what we need to do is each month as a team, ideally front office and back office, client B, we've been working on client B, they're paying this. And then the team might show up and say, well, actually, we're doing more work for client B than we've ever done for client D. And they're on 9,500. These guys are on 8. And so I think we need to have a conversation about an uplift or a scope change. The relativity conversation to, one, protect our integrity of what our pricing precedents are, but two, to get the team's input into, if this client B is sitting here on 8, we've been doing a lot of work on client B, the paperwork's bigger than we thought, it's going a bit out, then we need to have that relativity conversation to client B compared to others in that segment to act as an ongoing management of scope and price. What do you think of that?
Yeah, no, that all's clear. And for me personally, just implementing it and each month going through with you as well, just to ensure we're keeping on track with what the fee should be, and make sure we're not sort of missing any that aren't, you know, in the pro bono section.
Susan.
This is interesting because this is actually an issue that I'm starting to have to grapple with in my business, because it's been going a while now. Over the years, as I get better at scoping and I get better at understanding how to articulate my value, I'm now starting to see this bit of discrepancy creep in. And to be honest, I find it really difficult, because where the discrepancy exists is often with my long-standing clients who are not paying me enough.
Yeah.
And so you have this really long, entrenched, and because I'm good at building relationships, you know, really great relationships.
Yep.
And you have to have this really shitty conversation with them.
Yeah, it's a tough conversation, and it's really crucial.
It is tough. It is very crucial. And you know, to be honest again, if I do summon the courage and I find a way to actually have that, it always ends well, but I really grapple with it. You know, it's really
And I think congratulations, you're normal, Susan. I think we all have it. I think the day you get rid of it, you don't have that, is the day to give the job away. If you approach pricing arrogantly and say, well, take it or leave it. I don't think that what makes great advisors. But the point I'm trying to get here, we can have this quoting procedure up front where, yeah, look, there's nothing really different, nothing really changed. But if we don't overlay it with this month-by-month scope and pricing committee conversation and include someone else in our office or you know, and this is what we provide to our clients each month. Let's go through who's coming in, what's the price, have they any more uplifts? Unless we get this relativity and we see them, they're both principal clients. One's paying eight, one's paying 12. We're doing more and more for this work. It becomes quite clear a scoping conversation is required because we're going out of scope or they're on an old price. They've been around for a long time. There's nothing really changing, but fundamentally we can't keep people in that box for $3,000 anymore. And so it just raises this relative conversation to manage scope, not simply just set the scope, to manage the scope a month in advance. And so we know that, and some clients I know we're meeting in initial stages or if they're redoing more work a couple of times every maybe a month or two. And this, it's really crucial for us as a team to sit down front office, back office, to say, well, these are the prices, this is the work. I think that price is too low, or I think that price is about right. It's rarely too high. But that's a consistent, specific, methodical approach for the team to manage the scope, not simply in how we just quote it. We can quote it till the cows come home, but if we're not managing it, we're in a full sense of security for at least 12 months till we come back and reprice it. Bear in mind one other thing here, which is this concept of fee tension. We don't want to be all things to all clients. We just can't afford to be. We haven't got capacity. We haven't invented any more hours in a week. And so we're only trying to keep 4 out of 5 existing clients. And if the scope conversation is too hard and we're staying within that 4 out of 5, well, you're commercially well balanced. If you're actually dropping below 4 out of 5, if you're losing more than 4 out of 5, something's probably wrong with the proposition and price. But we're generally finding that most firms are trying to hang on to 90% or even higher. We think, well, you're not going to be able to have the capacity to deliver. You're simply going to run out of time every single time. But from an existing client too, when we're rescoping or a new client doing new work with, we only want to keep those existing clients, you know, 2 out of 3, 66%. So bringing into that monthly scope and price committee conversation is just an awareness of what is a healthy fee tension, particularly for existing clients. And it's about 80%. We're not here for clients for life. We're here for clients for value. But value both sides, not just to them, but also for us. There you go. What do you think? The whole comprehensive approach to pricing. Really important to use a grid like this to have some sort of team in discussion month by month, reviewing in advance the clients coming up for another meeting, whether it's an existing client we're doing more work on, a new client we're about to put into place, to make sure we're getting this relativity of pricing, not only from a new perspective, but when clients are doing additional work and they're coming up for a review, considering about how we have been pricing, to get this relativity of clients in each of these different areas. So the whole objective is in terms of engagement level, before we do due diligence, we should all have that variable pricing. But after we've done due diligence, we then there's no due diligence to do, that's fixed pricing. But all terms of engagements must have that scope caveat. Love to get your feedback on this and anything else in certainty advice. Take care, Jim, signing out.
Thank you for listening to the Certainty Roundtable podcast with Jim Stackpole. To access the material from today's show or to join in the conversation, head to www.certaintyadvicegroup.com. We'd love to hear your feedback, questions and opinions. Working together, we hope to achieve a lot more for more Australians. certaintyadvicegroup.com.